Now, if you could, as some would want to do, could you erase God? Remember as a kid, grade school, the teacher sends you up to the chalkboard, and with those erasers, they would just have you take everything off the board, everything that had been up there all day long, and you would erase all of it, only for a new day to begin the next day. Now listen, in this world that we're living in, there are those, if they could, they would erase God. I mean, let's think for a moment about erasing God. Take a big, eraser? What would you use? I mean, reach out into the universe, somehow go back and forth, and erase infinity, erase immeasurability, erase immortality, erase his existence, his relationship as creator, redeemer. Erase God. Let's go ahead and take God out of the equation of life. Let's take God out of the equation and listen, as we remove God out of the equation of life, let's see about origins. Well, where did it all come from? Where did it all begin? When did it begin? How do we know? Were there really aliens, an intelligent race that began the human race? And if so, do we rely on them? Have they been kind? Have they been good? Have they visited us? Have they helped us? What are the attributes of the aliens? They demonstrate they are finite. They demonstrate they can crash. They demonstrate they can kidnap and rape and create massive conspiracy worldwide. So where does it all begin? Maybe it's just all random. Maybe somehow out of the primordial ooze, something happened. Gases, where did the gases come from? I don't know. But they all of a sudden burst, and particles and atoms and molecules. And somehow it all was unleashed in a vast universe of hundreds of millions of galaxies, billions and billions of planets. And in the midst of all of it, there is one planet that is encased in such a way that there is air, the kind of weather that can cater to human beings, humanoids. Let's call us humanoids. All we are is, we're just humanoids in the vast array of chance and random sparks in the universe. And somehow, some way, we've come about. We have brains. We can talk. We can hear. We can calculate. We can think through. We can build buildings. We can create war. We can slap one another. We can spit in each other's face. We can love. We can make babies. Go to the movies, drive a car, have an iPod, listen to the latest conspiracy. Listen, as we would erase God, take God out of the equation. Where did it all come from? How does it all make sense? Listen, there are strongholds of the mind in the fallen world that we're living in which we have been damaged, in which we have, listen, did you hear me? We've been damaged. We are damaged products. You ever receive something that was damaged? You ever get something that when you open the box, it was damaged? Do you want to take it back? Meatloaf, the rock and roll singer, sings a song, "I Want My Money Back." It's all about living life. It's all about the injustice. It's all about being mad. It's all about things being unfair. And in the song, the premise is, "I want my money back. I want to take my life back and start all over. I want my money back because life is defective." Outside the equation of God, listen, a great study this week, a great biblical study this week, the book of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless, meaningless, everything under the sun. You ever see the concept there in the book of Ecclesiastes, under the sun? Meaning, without God in the equation, on this side, taking heaven and God and infinite creator, taking all of that out of the equation, under the sun, all the books, all the studies, all the buildings, all the ruckus of life, the writer says is ultimately meaningless. He was, what was he? He wasn't really an atheist so much as he was trying to understand life outside of God. And was he a hedonist in a lot of ways? Yes. Nihilist, existentialist, whatever else. Listen, we're going to take a look into all these strongholds of the mind and of the heart. You know why? Because in this providential hour, it may be the Spirit of God beyond your understanding would embrace you and engage you with a word that will break the stronghold of your heart and of your mind. When we live this life, we realize that we are defective, that we do wrong things, that our bodies age, and that we die, and that we can have accidents, that we can get killed. In our city here, somebody murdered somebody else. One man murdered his mother and brother. Outside of heaven, this side of the sun, under the sun. If there's no God, taking God out of the equation. Step back for a minute. Even if you're a believer, just take a little trek with me and back away for a moment and say, okay, let's just pretend there's no God. I mean, see, I can't really get into it because of what I know, because of what I've experienced, because of the 36 years of walking, probably a billion, some would say 2 billion others would be in relationship with God planet-wide. What about the other billions that are not? What we're going to talk about this week in the series. By the way, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We're seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more coming to the live show, downloading the archives during the week and afterwards. There's a massive search. And so all of a sudden we're seeing, again, thousands more in the downloads and engaging. And so all I can say is, listen, I know we're going to pretend for a second there is no God, but let me just say this. In the hour, I do know that there is a powerful, ultimate, supernatural hand that is not only infinite, massive, and incredible, but relational, knowing us and the details of our lives in an intimate way. So tonight, Shatter the Darkness radio live this week, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're just going to say we're glad you're here. We have come into an arena in which there will be activity. If you're a believer, expect that God may engage you concerning, understanding and experiencing God even broader and deeper than you ever have. If you're a seeker, or if you're on the other side of the fence, an opposer, then that's okay for now. I make no bones about it. I'm here praying, and by the Spirit of God, going to seek to persuade you out of the darkness and into the embrace of a relational God that you can know, speak to, be spoken to, and be filled with a final, glorious, hope-packed answer. If you've gone to ShatterTheDarkness.net, that's the website that has the series for this week. Here's what it's called, the theme, August 9th to the 13th, Exchanging the Truth for a Lie. Hollow eyes, hollow lives. There's a theme in the midst of all of this too, strongholds of the mind and the heart. Monday, atheism versus the God who is there. Atheism's hollow eyes. Tuesday night, 6 p.m., deism, the God who is here and awesomely active. Tuesday night at 7, Survive to Thrive. I'll be on as the guest host. And nihilism. We're going to look at Nietzsche. And versus the God of life, the God who gives a future. Wednesday night, August the 11th at 6 p.m. Existentialism. Listen, versus the God of meaning and depth of being, overwhelmed by God and existence in Him. Thursday night, off this site, supernaturalism versus the God of reality and truth. Infinite is always greater. And then Friday night, hedonism versus the God of happiness, peace, and joy. My name is Russ Dizdar, and I'm glad you're here. My motivation? Well, yes, I'm just going to tell you there's someone here with me in the room, in my heart, in my life. I feel His pleasure, His joy. I feel the motivation of His love. And I can only hope that whether thousands of you now or thousands of you on a one-by-one basis downloading the archives, maybe somebody sent it to you, maybe somebody said, please listen. I understand why. May the grace of God envelop you and grip you. I pray for His outstretched hands to open your heart, open your mind, to blast apart the real lethal darkness. May you have an encounter with God. But this week, exchanging the truth for a lie. It's the kind of world we're living in. I mean, really, if you take a look at it, if you look at Romans, listen, here's a backdrop study also. If you want to read the book of Ecclesiastes this week, take a read of the book of Ecclesiastes. But tonight, as we take a look a little bit, we're going to look at the book of Romans, chapter 1, starting at verse 18 on down. It's an amazing revelation. It's a panoramic view. It's about a world gone mad. It's about a world gone crazy. It's about a world gone insane. Insane? You want to hear about insanity? 1,100 missing in China after the flood. The floods. Just absolutely horrific. To be pulled down under, to be taken away, to see moms lose children or children lose parents or finding the floating bodies later. This is the world we live in. Reading a story out of Fox News, it says hormones in infant formula blamed for baby breasts. Can I tell you something? In a world in which they're trying to enhance the food supply, they're trying to, you know, put the chemicals that, what are they trying to do to us? I think nowadays we have to absolutely, you know, really take a look at what it is we eat, what it is they're doing to the food supply worldwide. There are those that go to bed at night stuffed like a pig. There are those that go to bed at night, their bellies protruding for lack of food in days. It's the kind of crazy world we're living in. It's the kind of world that some people would say, let's erase God. Let's take God out of the equation. You know, if there was a God, would He let this happen? If there was a God, He's good. Why? And so I'm going to deal with the emotion. What's the emotion behind modern day atheism? Not just the old atheism, not just Stalin's communist, atheistic Russia of the past. We see where that led. But I'm talking about the new angry atheism, the Richard Dawkins. Doesn't impress me as an intellectual, really. Doesn't impress me. I know he's studied. I know he's read. I know he's written books. I know he's outspoken. But I see a passion. I see a passion in Richard Dawkins. You know, he wrote that book, The God Delusion, and then the theologian that once was an atheist wrote a book called The Dawkins Delusion. By the way, if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll notice on the right-hand side, we're going to start a daily. It's going to either be like a word or a word of hope in that column. But today in the column is a book that I've read a couple of times. Going to reread it again. Called The Universe Next Door by James Sire. I just put it up there. You can get it for like a dollar or 50 cents plus shipping nowadays. Be a great book to go with this entire week if you want to do a little bit deeper study. And I would say in light of that, do a study of Ecclesiastes this week and of Romans, of the scriptures I'll bring out. But this is a book that gives you a background that will give you some help in understanding things. It's good to use to fuel your, as a believer in Christ, witness for Christ, to give you insight and help you. Let me tell you tonight, though, the focus here on exchanging the truth for a lie is the concept of atheism. There is no God. I mean, that's the issue. There is no God. That's the declaration. You look at the YouTube videos, you look at the documentaries, you read some of the books. I watched some of the debates, and what I see is a particular emotion. There's an emotion. There is a passion behind the new atheism. And the bottom line is all they can really say is there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. And, well, I'm going to give you four things tonight about that. Then I'm going to give you some response. Then we'll take a peek into an old, well, 3,000-year-old psalm that may give some of the indicators of the driving force behind atheism. Why some just simply spit to the ground when they think in terms of God. I understand why there are those that do. I mean, listen, 1,100 missing in China, the floods, okay? But I'm reading this other story. Here's a woman. Flesh-eating disease. I mean, absolutely incredible. She's waking up. Her name is Sandy. She was a patient where she once worked. She remembered having a baby and being told that she got an infection. A flesh-eating disease. What if you woke up in the hospital and you're told that much of your body has been eaten up? They can't stop it. What's up with that? I mean, there's no God, so what's up with that? Blame the stars. Blame the aliens. Blame the frogs. Blame the hospital. Make a lawsuit. What do you do? Die? I mean, why do we put people into a casket? I mean, we put people into a casket, we honor them, we bury them, we put headstones, we remember them, people take flowers. I've sat at a graveside of people that I was connected to. I sat there and wept. You'll never know what happened. I mean, if you were there years ago, I'm a younger pastor doing a funeral for a young lady we helped lead to Christ, who got married to a man that was going off to the military, and we did a kind of a quick wedding. She was pregnant. They had a baby boy. He was off, came back. She got disease. She was wasting away. She had AIDS. She died. I sat with her in the hospital room a number of times and we talked, but she died. And the husband's there, and the little boy is there. We're out after the funeral services at the graveside. You know how they have it at the graveside where they've already dug the hole. A 6-foot-deep square hole that the casket is to fit in, but it's covered with some plastic, but part of it had been pulled back. And I looked over and saw the 4-year-old little boy walk over there and look down into the hole. I walked up to the little boy and he looked at me and he says, I'll never forget the words. He about leveled me. He looked at me and he said, is that where my mama is going to go? Pointing down into the ground. Is that where my mama is going to go? I wanted to take the boy and wrap my arms around him and sit in the grass and talk. But if there's no God and his mama's going in the dirt and they're going to cover the dirt, what's it all about? What do you tell the four-year-old? His mama is in the ground. Why? His mama died. Why? Can't talk to mama. Why? Mama can't hug you. Can't feed you. Can't be at your birthday. Can't be at your high school graduation. Can't be at your wedding. Why? Because she's dead. She's in the ground. The atheist is right. There is no God. Then it's just, well, that's just the facts of life. Just become mad and say there is no God, but that's the facts of life. Mama's in the ground. The dirt's on her head, and she's not at your wedding, and she's not at your graduation, and she didn't feed you when you turned five. There's no birthday. There's no video of her because mama's dead and she's in the ground. See, this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we're engaged. North Korea fires artillery near the disputed border. Again, just flexing. Idiotic. What do you want to call it? Does anybody want to agree with me that in many ways the world that we're living in has gone literally insane? Does it look like it's going crazy? Does it seem like crazy things are occurring? Let me ask you something tonight. I don't know, other than a vast audience out there, but what I do know that the answer, the presence, the relationship that's here in this room, inside of me, on me, that I'm so now familiar with. Well, that's my frame of reference. That's what it's all about from this side of the microphone. See, where you're living, I don't know. I mean, you know, what's going on? I don't know if it's, flesh-eating disease, if mama's been buried in the ground, if, you know, your life really has been ripped to shreds, if you are hearing about the 1,100 dead in China, the missiles fired North Korean by the border, if you're hearing you're worried about the Antichrist or what they're putting in the foods. I mean, do we eat corn on the cob the same way we used to? But listen, taking God out of the equation and all that God says about evil, sin, fallenness, the intrusion of death, the possibilities of vast radical evil, the possibilities of vast radical meaninglessness in life, the possibilities of literally experiencing the breath, the touch on the pain of this life and going insane without any other touch, without a hand out of heaven touching you, this world can be somewhat insane. I mean, listen, the atheist is going to say, no God. Well, of course, the atheist is going to say, that would include, I mean, even more so, no devil. You can't blame everything on the devil. I mean, the devil's, you know, started things, the devil's involved with death, the devil's out of hell, the devil's got a red tail. I mean, the devil. I mean, pretty much an atheist can mock and make fun, and it can begin to sound kind of funny to believe that there's this red-tailed thing running around, if that's what you think it is. If you don't understand the depth of a fallen cherub, the presence of radical evil, if you don't understand what's going on behind the scenes, then again, go insane! Because you can't understand the history of humanity. Death, dying, meaning, purpose, why, beginnings, endings, slaughter, satanic ritual abuse. How are you going to understand any of it? If there's no God, absolutely no God, taking God out of the equation, well, does existentialism fit, the search for meaning? Does nihilism, kind of the hopeless, just kill yourself, we're going to talk about nihilism, nihilism tomorrow. Nietzsche didn't die very well. And for the occultists out there, Aleister Crowley didn't die very well. Judas didn't die very well. And by the way, then, when we die, what's next? For the atheist, mama's in the dirt, buried. Tell the four-year-old, that's it. She just rots. The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, the worms play pinochle on your snout. Remember the song? I learned it as a kid. Used to sing it, walking to school. Thought it was very weird. That was my frame of reference. Wow, I didn't want to go past a cemetery. I didn't want to look at a casket. Who wanted to see a dead man? What do? Poke it? Talk to it? Can I ask you a question tonight as you're listening? Maybe, again, you've downloaded a month later, and by the providence of the God that I know, you've been engaged. Can I ask you if you're sitting on the seat of meaninglessness? If you're sitting on the seat of anger, what's the emotion that drives your life? What's the philosophy that drives your life? What's the reason for being? Do you have answers about the world right now? Why is North Korea so angry and crazy? Why is there terrorists? Why is the Muslims ups? Why do they want to annihilate Israel? Why is there such a fragmentation of humanity and a constant threat of annihilation? Why do we have nukes? And if the aliens are out there, why won't they help us? Instead of using God's name in vain, can we begin to use the aliens' name in vain? They sure don't help anybody. I mean, maybe they're inspiring hidden military mill lab scientists with super soldier transgenics and all kinds of supernatural science to build for the future, because everybody knows there's going to be a blasted world war that's going to basically just about end everything, right? I mean, even the technology of web bots telling us all hell is coming on planet Earth. And yet, billions looking at the computers are able to, it's amazing to me that even this broadcast, by hundreds of thousands that don't know me down the road from up to 80 countries, I mean, it's one thing for you to be there, but I'm astounded. We have friends now in China. There are those downloading in Russia. There are those all over the world. And let me say quickly that we're going to spend 2 hours tomorrow going through emails, trying to respond to as many as possible. I'm going to set out in some prayer and spend 2 hours and answer everybody I possibly can, because there's just too many that comes in and I can't get to everybody. It's a actual physical issue. I can't jump 15 feet in the air. And that's just physics, the physics of being able to answer. My dear friends, you have no idea that I love you and I care, but I'm not the infinite one. I'm just one of those that once would have stood next to a dugout grave. If my mama was dead and they were going to throw her in there, I would have asked, can I go there? Can I see my mama again? You see, when we get into this concept of the philosophies or existentialism, deism, atheism, whatever, it really comes back down to the four-year-old next to the grave where the mom in the box is going to be put. Not even understanding the ramifications of his fifth birthday. No video, no mom. Behind the cake, behind the balloons. No graduation mom, no mom at the wedding, no mom to see the grandchildren, no grandma. I just came back from Nashville yesterday, 7 a.m. in the morning, saw my 78-year-old mother, whose eyesight she feels is almost totally gone. We did get her up and got her out, took her to Carrabba's. She bought a steak. She ate a steak. She's got an air tube, you know, on around her head and nose, and I see her frail body and her eyes, and she can't read anything. We have to tell her everything and helping her, hugging her. I got to be careful. She's frail. I can't hug her. I'm a big old guy, and if I hug her too hard, she'd crack a bone. She has to give herself shots every morning that somehow feeds her bones because her bones are so brittle and so gone. This thing called aging, God calls dying. And yet you and I, we're in the mix of this. You could be the most intelligent person in the world. You could be one of the most loving people in the world. But death is there, and the world that we're talking about is there. Flesh-eating diseases, 1,100 dead in China, North Korea firing missiles, and a boy next to a gravesite looking for mama. Meatloaf song playing in the background. I want my money back. Listen, exchanging the truth for a lie. Atheists, it may be by the providence of the God that you don't believe is there. Maybe by that seeking, summoning, embracing presence of God that you don't even believe exists is behind you getting a hold of, listening to this voice. In the book of Romans, for believers out there, we read in verse 19 down, you know what it says? Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. See, I trust that. I know that. I experience that. Most of the world does. God's made it plain that he's there. Like Francis Schaeffer, the great theologian, his book title, he is there and he's not silent. The God who is there, well, the second book, he is there and he's not silent. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. This incredible, gorgeous universe, this incredible, the sun is there, the earth is here, we're just in the right place, the heat comes in, well, it's been hot lately, I know that, and the snow's going to come, and the trees are going to change, the fall season's going to be here, my favorite time, September, October, even into November, beautiful time, love to run in the woods, sometimes just stop, stand there, smell the pine trees, look at the deer run by. Listen to the creek and the water bubbling over the rocks. Hear the sounds. See the little chipmunk run. It's an awesome creation. And God says, for since the creation, from the creation of the world, from the very beginning, from the very... You can call it a big bang if you want to. It's an act, bara is the word. Special act of God. Invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The atheists can scream at me all the time, all the while, all the more angry. There is no God, there is no God, there is no God. All the while I stand there with absolute total assurance that they have no excuse. That God has made it plain to them. Here's the issue, verse 21. For here's the panoramic view of humanity as a whole. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking, here's the problem, strongholds of the heart and the mind, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise. You know what? The accumulation of knowledge. You know what? Go read a catalog. See if that makes you more able in life. I mean, go out and just read a bunch of catalogs. Does that make you wise? Just read a whole string of knowledge. I mean, the Bible prophesied in the end of days increase of knowledge would be unprecedented. Wow. I got so many books to read, I always turn them sideways on my shelves to remind me these are the ones I didn't read. Reading one on Atlantis and the Neanderthals over here on the one side. I'm reading theology over here. I'm reading the other one on Francis Bacon and Atlantis. I'm reading just all kinds of crazy books. Crazy, crazy books. The world's nuts, right? Outside of God, look at the world. There's no God. There's no devil. There's no sin. Then tell me, why is mama in the grave under the dirt and a four-year-old boy looking down there? What's the answer? Richard Dawkins, what is the answer? Verse 20, Romans chapter 1. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. And their foolish, listen now, foolish hearts were darkened. See why we've titled the, like a little subtitle into this, Strongholds of the Mind and the Heart. Something has happened to our mind. Something has happened to our heart. The cardia, the centrality of our understanding. That part of us, that's us in the depths of us. The will, the emotion, the mind, the precept, the discernment, the understanding. Our minds, futile. Our hearts, darkened. Something's happened to humanity. I mean, if you can look out and say, what the heck is going on with those North Koreans? What in the world? A flood in China, 1,100 dead. What the heck is that flesh-eating disease consuming a woman? Isn't that crazy? Isn't it all crazy? How do you make sense of it? How do you make sense of any of it? Hearts and minds, something's wrong, something's defective. And the emotion behind modern-day atheists is part of why they're spouting off. And I understand. I'm going to stop there for a second. I'm going to give you the four specific, these are the points, the things that I see. Concerning Richard Dawkins and concerning the modern-day atheist, concerning not the atheist that has read books. I'm talking about the atheist sitting in the bar, the atheist sitting home, the atheist that's traveling through the internet and picks up a message like this and wonders why. Four things about atheism today. Four things about those that say there is no God. And extracting God out of the equation. Number one, when I've seen the debates, I've seen YouTube videos, I've read some books. I've also engaged at the university those who say they're atheists, family members that say they're atheists. Number one, in the atheist, you tell the atheist I said this, okay? You can say, listen, I listened to this guy, his name's Russ. And he said there's four things about the atheist that he knows from his knowledge, his experience. Number one, they are angry. They are angry. Unbelievably, they are angry. I mean, when we touch on this emotion, to me it is the emotion that is behind all of it. They are angry. Literally, the stronghold of the heart and the mind, the futility, the darkening, the engagement with this crazy, disruptive, ragged edge of a world. You know what it is? It makes you crazy. You hear about somebody raping a little girl. You hear about somebody stealing this over here. You get treated with the insurance company in the wrong way. The car salesman ripped you off. You got cracks in the foundation of your home. You can't see like you used to. You got aches and pains. The medications you're buying, you're trying to go to Mexico or Canada because they're so expensive here, and you're mad at the pharmaceutical companies who are seemingly ripping off everybody. Mad at the politicians. Mad at the man. anger can fuel a lot. And I see that more than anything else, the emotion behind the atheist is that they're mad. And you know what I think? I don't think that they're just mad at believers in Christ, people like me that say, there is a God, he's good, and he feels good, and I know where I'm going when I die. It's not just that. They're mad because of the internal issues of their life. Maybe they were like the boy that saw the mother put into the grave when they were four and don't have a mom at all. And they have a cousin that had a flesh-eating disease and a friend out in China that, you know, was taken away by the flood. And they live in South Korea where they're being shot at with missiles. Maybe they were in the building, 9/11. They came flying out and jumped because the fire was so hot they couldn't stand it. So they jumped and they traveled all the way down only to splat out of existence. And so when you look at all these things, you can get mad. You can get very, very mad. So I'm going to say, atheists, you're angry. Atheists, you're mad. Atheists, underlying your research, underlying your writings, underlying your videos, underlying your speeches, underlying the silent atheist at the bar, the silent atheist smoking the doobie, the silent atheist sitting angrily in line waiting his turn. There is no God, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. That's all that runs through their mind. It's a stronghold of the heart and of the mind. There is no God, there is no God, there is no God. Ah, there is no God, there is no God. And anger, and anger is behind it. You know why? You know why? Injustices in life. Can't figure life out. Don't know the beginnings, don't know the endings, don't know anything. Let me tell you something, why I think they're angry. Not only because of the injustices and pains and things and so forth in their life and everything else, but number two, they can't get rid of God. Listen, the atheist doesn't know God, hasn't felt the touch of God's love, hasn't felt the mercy, hasn't felt the flood of forgiveness, hasn't felt the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. Their spirit is dead to God. Their soul is dry. Their intellect is futile. Their search for understanding in the world, and all they've seen, it seems as though their mind is looking only at the bad things and looking how to calculate, blaming God. So number two, the atheist can't get rid of God. So they've got to say everything. God caused the wars. God caused the killings. God caused death. God caused the tsunami. God caused 9/11. God caused the wars. God caused it all. Really? I mean, intellectually, is there absolute proof for that? If God is culpable, and we put God on trial, and if we put God in jail, can I ask you something? Who's behind God to get us out of the mess? Does an atheist ever have a flat tire and no money to fix it? An atheist ever lose their house, a spouse, a child, a limb, their eyesight? You see, number one, the emotion behind the atheist today is anger. Number two, they can't get rid of God because everywhere they look, all over the world, people are turning to God. Some are saying now in China, there may be up to 300 million of those who have turned to the living Christ and embraced God and now walk and know God just as I know and walk with God. I've got a professor, sends me emails, sometimes maybe even we'll be able to listen to this. Blessings to you, my friend, my sister in Christ. I appreciate your promise of prayers for me. And obviously, I put my finger on the map right there in your little province in China. And I pray for you too. Isn't it amazing that I could have a friend, a professor, never seen face to face, but we can email and talk about God and know that they know God and they know that I know God. Yet the atheist is mad at that. The atheist sit there and grit his teeth grit their teeth, say no, and they, you know, they can't get rid of God. You know, it's as if the new motivation and proselytizing that's going on. The atheists writing books and making movies, even making movies that seem to, well, echo the madness and the absolute hollow eyes, hollow heart, hollow hope. No hope, no answer. So I'm going to say number two, the atheist can't, no matter what they do, no matter what book they write. Obviously, Russia couldn't stamp out God. The Nazis couldn't. The Romans couldn't. The Chinese can't. It seems as though God finds people and people find God, and people will die just because they won't give up God. They won't renounce God. In Rome, they wouldn't take a pinch of the incense, throw it into the fire, and declare that Caesar was God, because they knew that only God was God. God was bigger than Caesar. Caesar couldn't help the little boy who saw his mom put in the ground. Caesar can't stop the flood that took 1,100 Chinese away. Caesar's dead. Caesar's gone. Caesar's in hell. Number three, concerning the atheist, no answers. Come on, Mr. Atheist, can you give me the answer? Can you tell me where it all came from? Can you tell me where it's all going? Can you tell me why we die? Not just the science of dying. We stop breathing. Our blood goes out of our body. We get smashed in a car. We get shot, you know, by a terrorist. We be, you know, whatever it might be. Flesh-eating disease. That's horrific. And so the atheist can say we die, but the atheist has absolutely no understanding, no reason why it is here, why it is. What comfort? I mean, an atheist says, well, I can love the person who lost their loved one. What do you say to them? I'm sorry you lost your mother. I can't tell you why she died. I can't tell you why death is here. I can't tell you whether you'll ever see her again. I don't have any hope for the future. I don't believe there's life after the grave. I don't believe we just live and then we die. We just live. Life stinks and then we die. That's it. That's all she wrote. The fat lady sang. Is that what you're going to tell the grieving son of the dead woman buried in the hole? Does the atheist have an answer other than just, God did it. I'm mad at God. God caused the problem. There is no God. Well, if there's no God, how did he cause it? Well, it's religion. Well, if there's religion, where did it come from? And you're not even being fair by trying to just justify and mesh it all together. And the only thing you look concerning religion is not the vast billions of dollars raised and sent as the number one arm of the world that helps. I mean, in my city, who runs the soup kitchen? Who runs the haven of rest? Who takes in all the homeless? Is it an atheist society that's feeding them daily and caring for them, caring about their lives, feeling that the homeless, those on the street, those that are going crazy and mad, those who've been abused and hurt, those that are in trouble in their life, it's not the atheist that's out there taking care of them, raising money, feeding, clothing, talking to, smiling, praying for. It's not the... When's the last time in your city you found that there was going to be an atheist celebration? And when you got there, what was the music like? Where was the joy? What's the celebration? Oh, there is no God. Is there a song that they can sing? There is no God for me. Is that the song? I mean, there's a psalm that says there's... The fool says in his heart, there is no God. In the Hebrew, it carries over. The idea is, there is no God for me. The fool, the idea of the morally bankrupt. I mean, this is a person that has chucked reality and embraced self and screams, well, there's no God. Really? Prove it. Can't get rid of God. You're angry. And number three, you don't have any answers. Nothing. Zip. Zero. What happens to you when you die? What happens when, your parents die? What happens when your children die? To the professor that's trying to just strip, I mean, literally in Dawkins' book, the goal of the book is written to change believers' minds and turn Christians into atheists. That's how strong the mad anger emotion is. And if you read the book, you can, you're very clear. It's obvious that even the top atheist of the world at this point, Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, hasn't been able to dethrone God. It hasn't stopped me leading a person to receive God into their heart through Christ and know God with joy and forgiveness and assurance of eternal life. Number four. I mean, if number three, no answers. Now, think about it right now, if you had no answers. If God was not in your equation, what answers would you have concerning the beginnings and the ends? What would you have? That leads us to four. And here's the fourth thing that I think about all atheists. No hope. You die, you're put into a hole, they shovel the dirt over, the scientific laws of physics, liquefy and then you turn to dust and that's it. Where did the person go? The person that experienced all these years, where did their laugh go? Where did their smile go? Where did their personality go? Where did they go? Atheist can't answer. They got to just zip their lip. You see, atheism isn't really, I mean, they can say it's a philosophy of life. Is it a philosophy of life? That's why I'm saying, where's the last atheist meeting you can go to and just be, where they had some of these at the universities and so forth, where there's this great, big, mad, angry emotion there. And then secondly, they can't get rid of God, and it's just like they can't wipe God off their arms. They can't wipe God out of the sky. They can't wipe God out of the consciousness of humanity. They can't get rid of God. Number three, they don't have the answer. I mean, they're spending all their time saying, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God. But what's the answers then? No answers. Origins, endings, life, afterlife. Which literally then feeds when an atheist does, if they were in a room painting the floor angrily, mad, say the floor was God and they're painting over the floor, they try to get rid of God. They don't know how they got into the room. They don't know how they're going to get out because they've painted themselves into the corner. Yeah, they painted themselves into the corner. They look to the left. They look to the right. They can't jump. There's no door. There's no window. They can't walk on walls. They're in the corner. And they, and dear atheist friend that might by God's providence be listening, you've painted yourself into the corner. You see, the thinking is futile. The heart is darkened. The embrace of atheism, is it just an excuse to excuse your own sin, your own defect, your own wrong? Is it a way of excusing the emptiness? Is it a way like drinking to your just totally drunk to forget things? Well, is atheism as a philosophy, as a mental construct, as the reason why you don't believe in God? Because I'm an atheist. And I'm mad, I don't believe there's a God. I can't get rid of God, but I don't have any answers and I don't have any hope. Then what do you do? See, Psalm 73, if anybody's ever read that, is all about a guy that was looking at the world. Crazy world, beat up world, unfair world, unjust. It's true. The world. Listen, you know what God says? You know what the Bible teaches? You know what I say? The world that we live in is abnormal, dysfunctional, broken, fragmented, infected, and definitely not what it was meant to be. Some people react to a broken, crazy, dysfunctional, unjust world. Some just go get drunk, and like the hedonists we'll talk about Friday. Just party till you puke, man. You know, till you fall off the balcony at a hotel, or till like my buddy that inhaled that Pam spray, you know, spray it in a bag and inhale it and get high, man, till his lungs stuck together and he died there as a doper in the woods by himself. Party till you puke, man. We're going to talk about that Friday. Listen, the cross, why'd Christ die? Why did it all occur, everything around him? The entirety of the Old Testament pointing to. I mean, listen, if you want an ounce of sympathy, look at the cross. Look at the Savior. Look at what he said. Look at how he acted. Look at what he did. If you want an ounce of sanity about all of life, look how Jesus lived. Look how he engaged people. Look how he talked to them. Look how he dealt with fake man-made Pharisaical and hypocritical religion. It's out there, but it's always the man-made kind. It's always the politicized kind. It's always the man-induced institutional junk religion. It's not God. God is God. God's at the cross dying to break the madness. God's at the cross dying to break the sin, the death, the meaninglessness that comes because of all of the... God is there on the cross to break it all, to open our understanding. But let me tell you something, my friend. It's more than just understanding. Have you ever been touched and felt the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that releases the heart, that comes into your life? Have you ever had the experience of just God coming into your life and flooding in, your spirit becoming alive? That's how it is when you receive Christ. My friends, we're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar. I hope you'll come tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Remember us in prayer. Please remember us in support for all of the work that goes on. My dear friends, God bless you. Good night.